Hey, I'm Marcus.
And I'm Nick.
We are Working Class Nerds.
Hello, listeners.
Are you kidding?
Well, we have three.
Oh.
Me, you, and Holly. So before we get into this awesome episode with Holly Fields, I just wanted to make a disclaimer that Nick and I really want to make a good Onslaught review for everybody. And Nick is catching up through the story to be able to get into Onslaught. And I've had the worst work week of 2019 this past week. So I've only completed, as of recording this on Thursday of the week of Onslaught's release, I've only completed Onderon and just started on Mechshah. And I'm not rushing through the story.
Right. You want to take your time and enjoy it.
Yeah. I am completely taking my time.
Yeah.
And then I actually did not mount up at all through Onderon. So I just ran like the old days on my feet.
Right.
I didn't have my pleasure bar skiff eating grapes. So like I was saying, I'm uber proud of the BioWare team for this expansion. They only had to take the servers down that one time when we were drinking at your bar on Tuesday hoping to play it.
Right.
For that little bit of time for whatever the problems were. But anyway, next episode will be the Onslaught review. We'll have a lot more to say about it.
But for now, enjoy the interview with Holly Fields. That's right, we are Working Class Nerds, the podcast that gives you no information about your favorite information.
Today is Thursday, October 24th, 2019, and you can find this. Holly Fields is on our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Buzzsprout, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. You can find the both of us on Twitter. I am at MarcusB814.
And I am at Nick Vern, that's N-I-C-K-V-E-R-N. In this week's episode, we've got a special edition of Working Class Nerds. We get to sit down with Holly Fields, the voice actor that brings to life Nadia Grell, our favorite companion in the Jedi Consular class story. So without further ado, Holly, thank you so much for coming on the show. And what have you been up to?
Well, thank you for having me, first of all. I've been up to a lot of voiceovers and singing. And I just started doing autographs, which is exciting because you get to meet the fans. And that's been my last few weeks.
That's super exciting.
It is exciting. And, you know, it must be a surreal feeling when you meet somebody that knows you so well and you're like, wow.
Yeah, it's weird, you know. Yeah, I remember years ago I was at the airport. This is back when I was a kid. And I have two last names. So I have my, you know, real last name and then my stage name, because I had to change it because there was another Holly with my real last name in SAG. So I'm at the airport and the guys, I'm going through the ticket booth thing, and he said you're Holly Fields. And that was the first time that ever happened, and I'm like, this is weird. It's really strange.
Oh,
but it's cool too. I mean, it's, you know, I'm always appreciative that people watch something I've done, so, you know,
that's cool. I never think of that like as an issue. I'd be like, oh yeah, because most people have screen name, or I don't know what the appropriate term would be, but like a stage name.
Right. Yeah.
Not me. See, I could never do it because I'm Marcus, and I could never be John. Because if somebody was like, hey, John, how you doing? I'd be like, who are you talking to, man?
No, it's just your last. I mean, just my last. Yeah. I had to change my last name only. I didn't have to change my first, but I was so bummed, and my dad was so upset when I had to change it. But, you know, you do what you have to do.
That's right.
Got to make sacrifices for the career.
Yeah. Made of many.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Let's get this thing going.
So,
all right.
In an effort to be decent interviewers, we had to do a little bit of research on kind of you and your career. So what I found is from acting in TV shows, movies, Broadway productions, singing, and, of course, voice acting, which we know you for, you have a very intense resume, or I can imagine your resume must be chock full to the brim. So, you know, we know you as Nadia Grell from SOTOR, but let's take it back to the before them. So what was it like, I guess, making that transition between acting, you know, on video or in a movie to voice acting?
Well, okay. So you mean like, how did I get into it, or how, what was?
Yeah, take us. What is that? What was that whole process like for you?
Well, I started out doing theater when I was a little kid with Molly Ringwald, actually in Sacramento, mm-hmm. and then when I moved to Texas, my family moved to Texas when I was 6 or 7. My Molly's dad got my parents to get me into on camera acting, so commercials and all that. So that was interesting, because you're going from stage where you're really broad and, you know, arms big and voice loud, to doing a movie where you have to talk normally. So when you go into voice acting, it's even another, you know, change up, where you have to talk even softer. So you go from one extreme to the other. So stage is big and over the top, and voice acting is under. So that was interesting to me. There's so many different types of acting. And then you've got sitcom acting, which is a little bit over the top, and you've got drama, which is, you know, it depends on what you're doing.
Well,
you have to adjust your acting style, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, Nick knows all about the drama, because he brings drama everywhere he goes.
Yes, yeah.
Thanks a lot.
But yeah, but voiceover acting, that I love. I love, it's different when you're voice acting, because you don't get to dress up as the character and have that crutch. You know, you're not relying on your face, your facial expressions and your mannerisms and all that. You're having to really just go in there and use only your voice to portray a character, or to make someone, you know, feel something. So I like the challenge of that, but it is also kind of hard at the same time, because you're not getting, you know, you're not standing there with somebody else acting opposite of them, and you're just in there doing your lines and having to rely solely on your voice.
That's what I wanted to ask. So what is, kind of take us through, what's the typical workday like as a voice actress? Is it pretty consistent where you're just going in reading the lines every time? Or do you get like a more of a backstory depending on the role?
Yeah. For Star Wars, for example, obviously, you know, we all know Star Wars, and I've always been a huge fan of Star Wars. So I kind of knew the backstory, but, for that, they gave me a bit of it at the audition. And then when you're there, they tell you more, but you don't get like the script. You're given your lines only. And then like a few lines before to kind of give you an idea of what's going on. And then you just go in there and you read your lines a few times, and you just get a few different takes. So that's with Star Wars. And then like for Shrek, I'll go in and they'll play Princess Fiona. They'll play Cameron Diaz, which gets me into the Cameron Diaz role. And then if you're looping, it's a whole other story. You're on a soundstage. And then if you're doing commercials, it's a whole other story too. So it depends on what kind of voiceover you're doing.
And a few years ago, I remember reading a bunch of articles about the voice actors, and you know, you guys were non-union and you were trying to go union, and there was a big, I don't know, kerfuffle. Discrepancy, yeah, in the whole thing. Were you involved in that?
No. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Wow.
I think I kind of heard it. I knew that was happening for commercials, for on camera, but I don't know about voiceover work.
Sure. What's it like going to do a voiceover? Do they just hand you some lines and say, create something? Or do they say, okay, we're looking for, you know, a female that's really stressed out and really tired.
That's me.
No, but I'm just saying, like, how do you portray a character that you have to create out of thin air?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think, I don't know. I've been doing this since I was a kid. So I think it kind of comes naturally to me, because I've been doing this since I was, you know, 6.
Wow.
So I have this, and I've got this imagination that runs wild. So I think I just kind of go in and just become the character. But, you know, I've had times where it's like, oh God, what's the character like? And you do have to create it, because it's not as easy. But like for Shrek, that was easy, because I already knew that Cameron Diaz created it. So I would just go in and just, you know, do her. And then for Drew Barrymore, I did Beverly Hills Chihuahua for her. I just did her. So when you're looping for people, it's a lot easier. But creating a character, it's a whole different ball game. But Nadia was very easy. I kind of just did myself.
Wow.
Okay. And yeah.
When you say looping, can you explain what that means? Because I don't actually know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So looping. So I looped for Cameron Diaz for 18 years, which was the best job ever because I love her and I just, yeah. So that was a blessing. So what I would do, like, for example, the other women I worked on for a long time, I would go in and say there were lines in the movie they wanted to change for her, or there was a sound glitch or something. I would go to Sony every day and I would go into the soundstage with the director and the producers and I would redo the lines. So they gave you the timing when you're supposed to start it, when you're supposed to finish it. And then you listen to how she did it. And then I would have to copy her, or sometimes they didn't want me to copy her, but they said, finish it on time. And then they would slide it into the film. So you don't know whose voice it is. It's supposed to sound like Cameron. So, you have to just sound as much like him as you possibly can. And it's the best job in the world.
Wow.
That's really cool.
I never even knew that was a thing.
Oh yeah, it's a big deal and it's not many people are good at it. So I've been lucky enough to get to do it for a lot of people. Like, you know, Cameron Diaz was my main person, then Drew Barrymore, Hailee Steinfeld, Leslie Mann. Like, I've been doing it.
Wow.
They like me because I've done a lot of on camera, so they know I can act, but I can also copy voices, which is a kind of nice combination for them. So I've been really lucky to get to do that for, you know, when I got sick, I did that a lot, and that was a blessing. Such a great job.
Wow. You know, I didn't even know that was a thing. I'm so blown away by it. And
I didn't either for a long
right,
time. Yeah.
Just the thought of being able to mirror somebody's voice is mind boggling to me because
it's fun.
How did you learn to do that? I mean, obviously you have this big, like, you know, of large repertoire of acting experience, but copying someone's voice in a booth, that's got to be a very unique set of challenges.
It's weird. I don't know really. I'm a singer and I think it's all about pitch, rhythm, and timing, and kind of, you know, like Cameron Diaz has a really cool essence about her. So you have to kind of know that person and you just kind of take them on, like, in a weird way. Like, you become them and you just go in and you just start talking like them. And you change your posture and everything. It's really interesting.
Oh, that's really cool.
Wow.
Yeah,
Marcus,
I'm blown away by this because I'm just thinking about if somebody ever had to try to mimic my voice, I don't know how that would ever work. You know what I mean?
That'd be hard. You have a great voice. No, I did. It comes in handy too because one time I was in Hawaii. And I was totally sunburned and I wanted to get sushi. And so we called the sushi place and they said, oh no, we don't have any sushi to go, but they did the night before. So I called back as Drew Barrymore and all of a sudden they were giving us sushi to go. They didn't want to charge us. And I'm like, oh my God, no. And we ended up telling them at the end, they thought it was awesome. But yeah, you could use it for evil if you wanted to, but I don't.
So what you're saying is you are allowed to use the dark side,
right?
I've gone to the dark side a few times, as we all do eventually. But yeah, no.
Who was your favorite to loop?
I love Drew Barrymore just because we went to high school together, and I've always loved to copy her. But I also freaking love Cameron Diaz. I just was obsessed with her growing up, and we were on an airplane together flying back from Utah. I was filming Touched by an Angel and she was filming, I forgot, the Ian McGregor movie she did. And we got to hang out with her and she was so cool. And I just wanted to be just like her. So it was kind of fun just all of a sudden getting to voice her for 18 years and kind of, you know, in a weird way, getting to be her in a weird way. If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
I kind of got it. Yeah. I mean, she was the one that hired me, which was the coolest thing ever. Cause I had auditioned for Shrek cause they wanted someone to copy her on Shrek and she got to decide who they chose. And so she chose me and then I auditioned again and she chose me again. And the third time again, and then she's the one that said, how about we just hire her full time? And then they started hiring me for, like, the other women, for Sex Tape, for, I think Night and Day. And, Annie. So I just started getting to do her voice for loop for everything. And then Shrek was the big one. So I would go in before Shrek. I would do the pre-vocals for her for the script. And then that's when DreamWorks would, you know, they would listen to the pre-vocals and then rewrite it. And then at the end, she goes in and she does it. And then I would do the after vocals and all the games, dolls, videos, toys, the commercials for McDonald's with Shrek characters, you know, Del Sound, I would do the voice for her. So I've been at hundreds and hundreds of jobs around the world, like the Disney Christmas Parade. I got to sing in it as Princess Fiona. It's been a huge deal. I didn't know what I was getting into, but I got lucky on that one.
I guess so. I remember playing the Shrek video games.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that was voice. Yeah,
it's like now I kind of want to go back and re-download it, get an emulator, and just play it. Like, oh, there's Holly.
Right. That's awesome. Well, obviously you did an incredible job. If we could never tell.
Oh, thank you. I hope so. Thank you. I try.
So going on to the Shrek video game, did you ever play any of the games that you voice acted in?
Yes. For the Shrek ones, I did. I tried Star Wars The Old Republic when I was at Comic-Con, and I kept dying. I'm horrible at it.
Okay.
I can never get to where I start talking, so I gave up.
That's quite all right.
And I gave up. And some of these awesome fans of the game sent me like clips of it, and that's how I finally got to hear her. So that was pretty fun.
With in regards to Star Wars, did you... Yeah. How many hours did you spend inside the booth doing Nadia?
Oh, gosh. I don't even know.
Well, because every time you are in a conversation, there's a conversation tree. So there's always three options.
And three responses, you know, that Nadia would give
yes,
you.
Yes, no, maybe. And then from there, it stems to the next three questions. And then the next three questions, I mean the answers.
Yeah.
So how many hours do you think you spent with the BioWare folk?
Oh, gosh. Hours and hours and hours. Well, when I first got there for The Old Republic, the very first one, I didn't even know who my character was. They didn't tell you the storyline. So I went in there, and there's this thick book, and I'm like, what's that? Must be the script. No, it was only my lines. And I didn't know. I'm like, oh, what? So, yeah, I kind of panicked. So that took hours and hours and hours to get through the big first script of it. But yeah, we get about three takes. Sometimes they'll do different ones, and we do like the three different answers, right, you know, one after the other. And it's very organized, very, you know, well thought out by them, and they make it as easy as they can on us. And it's really fun. It's you get to hang out with them, and they're really cool, so.
Wow. I don't want to bring this down at all, but I always am curious, is there anything about your job that you don't like?
Well, because clearly you sound like you love every day of work.
No, I love my job. No, there's nothing about it. I love everything about it. I'm so thankful to get to do what I do and to work with who I work with. I mean, it's you know, I know I was talking to my friend about this today. When you go in for people that haven't directed a lot or something, they're the ones with kind of the attitude usually. The ones that are like, you know, George Lucas and, you know, Jeffrey Katzenberg and Steven Spielberg and the people on Star Wars, it's always the nicest people because they're confident, they're happy, they have no egos. They're always the best people. So I guess going in for the films I've gone in for that you have to deal with the egos, I don't like the ego part. I like working for people like the Star Wars people where you just know you're going to go in and have fun the entire time and have a great product when you're done and be something you're really proud of. So I like everything about it.
How hard is it to bring back a voice?
Oh, okay. Well, okay. So I did The Old Republic first.
Yep, that was in 2011.
Years ago, obviously. So, yeah.
Recording in 2010 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I went to do the last one, I guess my voice had gotten older. And so they kept saying, make her younger, make her younger. So... That was interesting. Normally, I can bring it back pretty easily, but that was finding her again was interesting. But we did it, I think.
Well, you know,
hopefully.
Because, well,
I haven't heard it, so I don't
right.
know.
Because I'm always curious. Because if you do something in 2010, and then you come back again to do it again, how hard is it to find that person and
like
bring that same personality back with the person?
Right. Like, even besides making the voice sound younger, is it to sort of slip into the character, I guess? How difficult is that?
Or any of your characters.
Right.
Well, they usually play you, you know, sound bites of what they really liked about they play you the parts that they really liked, and they said sound just like that again. So it's pretty easy to go back into that. I think just doing the voiceovers for a living, I get used to having to do that. So it's pretty easy to do.
Sure.
I think, yeah, it's, yeah.
Wow. I guess my words are gone because I'm just blown away by how you can create somebody else's voice, create a new voice, and then all those years later,
you can just bring it back up.
Bring
like
it back
that,
like
riding a bike.
You know, okay. You hear, oh, I remember that voice. Oh, that's Marcus's voice. Let me do it. Boom. Voice.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Some people in this business, though, they're so good at it. I have one friend, Greg Berg, who, oh my God, he can sound like John Travolta. He actually did my answering machine one time, and I was getting my floors redone, and that was, I would have, so the people that were redoing my floors were trying to rip me off, and then when they called back, they heard the John Travolta voice, and they thought it was really him. All of a sudden, they're wanting to give me a deal, and all their friends are calling my answering machine. It's funny, but he's amazing. Some people are so good like he is, where he could just go from voice to voice to voice to voice within 5 seconds. I have to kind of, you know, like for Shrek, I would watch the movie the night before, and then you can get into her voice. That's how I work. For Star Wars, same thing. I watch, like when I go to work on Star Wars, I'll go and I'll watch the YouTube videos of Nadia Gurel to kind of listen to it and get back into her. So that's how.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm sorry. I'm getting a reverb. So anyway.
So speaking of watching Nadia, you know, on YouTube and stuff, I wanted to ask, after you recorded everything, is Nadia, did she come out sort of the way that you thought she might have as a character, like whether she looks or the way they made her act, sort of in the game? What I don't know. What did you expect versus what you saw as a product? I don't know if there's a difference or not.
Yeah, well, I didn't know what to expect. I was actually so excited and waiting to see what she looked like. So, I'm thrilled with her. I love the painted face. I've seen people dress as her for Halloween, which is so cool. I love her. And I love her. I love that they let me kind of throw in my own personality to her.
You know.
A bit, so.
That was going to be one of my questions for you is, how much of Nadia is your personality?
A lot of it. That's, I think, why I got the part, because I'm so much like her. They're really great at casting over there. We got to speak at Comic-Con, so Tara Strong was there, and a lot of the stars of it. And I was thinking, you guys are so much like your characters. So I think they kind of cast people that are a lot like the character that they're playing. So. I don't know. Maybe they had a camera on us watching us in the waiting room or something. I don't know. Or they're just really good at their jobs.
So speaking of BioWare staff, we wanted to ask, since we've met some of the developers and some of the people on the BioWare team, I would say we're fairly friendly with those guys. Let me take it back even further. How did they approach you, or how did you approach them, or maybe your agent or whomever? How did that process of working with BioWare on SOTOR start? Was it like an audition, or is it like an offer that you received? How does that?
I wish I auditioned. That was okay. So I went in that day. I was told it was called the Old Republic. No one mentioned Star Wars, and thank God, because I probably would have blown it. my best friend actually started chemo that day, and I had to be with him at the hospital. But I had this audition, so I said I would meet him there. And I just remembered thinking my brain was somewhere else, and I just went in there. And I couldn't even get the last words right. And they made me get it right before I left. So I was stumbling over it. And I walked out of there thinking, I blew it. Oh my, there's no way I got this part. And by the time I got home, I found out I got it. And then my agent said, by the way, it's Star Wars. And I screamed so loud that my neighbor called me. And they said, should we call the cops? We heard you scream. And so that was the first time I found out I'd gotten Star Wars. I didn't even know I was auditioning for it. So I was up for 3 different parts. But they decided Nadia. So
can I ask, what were the other two? Do you remember?
I don't remember, because I didn't even know. I don't remember. It was long ago. It's like 2009, but I wish I remembered. But it was also, you know, kind of a secret thing where you got this, you couldn't take the sides with you. You couldn't look at them before. You just got there, you looked at them, you went in the room, you're in a dark room, you're not talking to anybody, they're all listening to you, and they're talking through the earphones, so you hear there's a bunch of people listening, but you don't see them. You know, I didn't even know who was, you know, choosing that day. And it's pretty interesting. And then they listen to you record it, and then they have you change it, and that's it. And you walk out, and you just hope for the best. And I guess they liked it.
How could they not, right?
Well,
come on. How could they not?
Yeah. I got lucky. It's they're good directors.
Sure. Who did you work with from BioWare?
Like once you were there, once you had the part as Nadia.
And did you fly to Austin, or was it all done in California?
No. They were on the phone, I think, in Austin and different places, and then I would, you know, record at Margarita Mix here in LA, and you just, you know, I would go in a room with headphones and listen to them direct me over the headphones. Sometimes they would be there as well. I had so many different people directing, so I don't even know half the people that were directing that were listening, because a lot of times they would just come on and say, it would be a different voice saying, can you do it this way? So they had a lot of people there. Just, it was very organized, and they knew what they wanted, and they made it really easy.
Sure.
So,
well, that's cool.
But yeah, we had, like, the last time it was Charlie Boyd.
Yep.
I also, Charles. Yeah.
That's so funny, because we all call him Charles, and in here you call him Charlie. It's funny.
No, I also worked with Charlie Band. My brain is still.
Oh, sure.
I was just meeting with him the other day. Charles. He's awesome. He's a fantastic director, and he's the one that directed the last time. So, and brought me back into the voice, and said I was, you know, got to go a little younger with it. And he's fantastic.
Was he? Was that over the phone, or did you see him in person? Was he
in
wearing
person.
His typical Jedi garb?
Okay.
No.
So Holly. So Holly. Every time we've ever seen him in person, he's always in full Jedi garb with lightsaber. So our thought on Charles is everywhere he goes, he's just in Jedi robes.
He's even cooler now. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
I'll send you a picture
of him, because we were just at the New York Cantina with all those guys.
Yeah.
And,
I want to go there.
You should come next year. It's every year in October.
But, I would
you know,
love
be
to.
Be careful. New York is a crazy place.
Yeah. It is. It's so much fun. I love New York.
So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was just at the cantina at Disneyland.
Oh, at Galaxy's Edge.
Yes, that was amazing.
Did you
amazing.
Drink blue milk?
Not yet. Next time.
So,
I will be drinking blue milk.
We're taking our kids to the Orlando Galaxy's Edge in February, and I can't wait.
Oh,
and
awesome.
My daughter and I are going to create the droid, and then it's just her and I got tickets to the cantina, because I guess you need a pass to get in there. Like, you almost have to be scheduled.
Oh.
You know, we're not she's so excited. All she talks about every day is how she's going to drink blue milk. So that's why I had to ask. Yeah, I can't
wait.
Oh,
my God.
She's
how
three.
Old is she?
Oh, yeah. She
seriously?
Watches. So she watches she's, Star Wars.
Wow.
She has the Princess Leia dolls. And she
watches it as if other kids would watch, like, a kids movie.
You know, basically. And she recites it.
And she knows the parts that she has to fast forward through. That's too scary.
Right. Exactly. She'll tell you.
Oh,
yep.
How cute.
And, like, my sister was babysitting one time. And she was, and she remembered, she was telling me after Julia stopped her and was like, hey, I can't watch this part. Fast forward through it.
But
oh my gosh! That's,
she
that's
voices
adorable.
All the words, and
she'll like recite
it's
them.
It's unbelievable. You know, this is completely
so cool.
Egotistical when I'm going to say it, but I'm a winner as a dad just for this. I am a winner. Yes,
you did a great job. I agree with you, actually. Yes.
Yeah,
oh my gosh!
For Halloween, she's going to be Princess Leia. My little man is going to be Yoda. It's
oh,
awesome.
Cute. Oh, that's so
and
cool.
So, my SOTOR characters are family members, and my German Shepherd is my counselor.
Oh, wow.
Her
and
Nadia
so
are homies.
That's so cool. You guys are going to have the best time at Disney World. I can't wait to hear how they like it.
So going into SOTOR a little bit more,
Were there any other characters that you did the voices for?
Yes. Yeah, I don't remember the names that well, but I think Valk, B-E-R-O-Y-A, I don't know how to say that. Valk, can you guys say that? Baroya? That was the hard part about the game, is that having these planets with these names, that was the one hard part. Like, everything else was pretty, you know, easy and fun, but then when you come to these names, you're like, oh my god, what a tongue twister. Yeah, so I did. I played that, and I played a. They had me do a bunch of different reads, and they didn't know who they were going to choose for it. So I'm not sure if they chose me, but I think they did because it's listed on my IMDb.
Yes,
so.
I did see that back in my perusing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Valk's a female Mandalorian warrior.
Oh.
In Shae Vizsla's clan.
Oh.
I'm not sure which.
So it's
which
probably from Coffee.
I think so.
Knights of the Fallen Empire. How long? Yeah. I'm sorry. What's your typical work day inside one of those booths? How?
Well, it's so you go and they give you the script and you're there for about 3 hours, sometimes more, sometimes less, and you just they're in the booth in front of you. You're in the little room by yourself, and you just go through the lines 3 times, and it's pretty fast, and it's always so much fun. I always get depressed when I'm driving home at the end because it's over and you want to just keep going. I wish I could do that every day of my life.
Well, thankfully you have you have, you know, the opportunity to, as long as you keep booking roles, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been so lucky I didn't think it was going to keep going. I thought I was going to do the Star Wars, the Old Republic, the first one. And then when they called me for the second one, I was like, wait, what? And then the third one, I'm like, seriously? And then the fourth one, it was like, what? This is great.
So the game that is still the original game back then. It's still going on, and they just release expansions.
It's like
over
continuations.
The years. It's never ending.
It's pretty cool.
It's not multiple games. It's actually one game that has
giant.
Been going on this whole time.
Okay. Right. Why do they change the names? Like on the IMDb, I see different names.
Because it's probably the name of the expansion. Because they release it as like a whole. It's giant chunks of story, as you, I'm sure you could tell from having to read so many lines for it. But
picture like Shrek 1, Shrek 2, Shrek 3, but it's all in the Shrek universe. Oh. Now put that all in one game, and just they release certain tidbits, and that's new content for the people to play.
Like as time goes on, yeah.
Wow, that's brilliant. That's so cool.
What a
great idea! And can you believe? Yeah, and it's also interesting to me that Star Wars, you know, was from the 70s, and you look at it, it's still so just as popular today, if not more. And just that idea. Of George Lucas's, that wasn't supposed to be. No one thought it was going to go anywhere. And look how huge it is still. That to me is so surreal. It's amazing.
So Holly, so we play this game all the time. There's guilds in this game. So Nick and I are a part of something called Alia Iacta Est. It's a gaming community. They play a bunch of games. There's thousands of members. This guild has been around for 12 years. There's one member in particular. His name's Max, and he has a podcast. It's called the SOTOR Escape Podcast, and his co-host is Seema, and they pull tidbits out of the game that you've worked for, and it just so happens that some of the tidbits are Nadia, and when he brings them out, he will say, you know, Nadia will say blah, 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 whatever. And then he'll go, shut up, Nadia. And I said to him, I was like, that's not right. And he goes, well, I'm going to continue to say it. And I was like, but she's so nice. How can you tell her to shut up? And so now that you're here, do you have anything to say to Max?
Shut up, Max.
Thank you so much.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that is great. It makes our day.
Tell me what you got to get back to.
Oh, we'll send it to him.
I hope you're going to listen to this episode at least.
Another thing. I never like to listen to myself or watch anything I've done. I'm so self-conscious. But I will. I will listen. Because I ramble. I ramble too much. I get too excited.
That's the point of a podcast, though. That's why The point is to ramble.
Yeah. Everyone else I know tries to be cool, like this, you know, like all my friends would do them, like, no, no, we have to come across cool. Not me. I just become, I'm like a huge dork that just, I'll ramble.
You think you're
so
great.
And, you guys are great.
The only last thing I'm going to ask is, so during our show, we have a break sound, and some of our listeners...
What it actually is me cracking a beer, pouring it into a glass, and then taking a sip. But so, but the liquid pouring into a glass often sounds like someone urinating.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
And so we'd like to make you our break sound.
Saying what? I don't know yet.
Yeah, so we want to brainstorm this. What could we say?
Okay.
Like, you're listening. Come on, hurry up, Nick.
We got. There's more show to go, or something.
Yeah,
like
or
that.
Something in mention working class nerds. I don't know. I'm not creative. I build custom cabinets. That's my career.
Marcus is a carpenter.
I cut wood for a living, so I don't have.
That hits the name working class nerds. Marcus is a carpenter. When we started, I was a college student. Now I just work in the ER. But we're both working class nerds.
That's but you're going back to school to become a PA. Like
right.
That's.
I'm still a student again. So anywho, we can figure that out after the show, I suppose. But.
Okay. Yeah. We'll give it a few takes too.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I love it.
What are you guys talking about in here?
Find out next episode of Working Class Nerds.